You're a heavy government.
No, I want to put the back in for all the members.
Yes. If we would be very much happy because we gave them some of this program last year to tell us more about it, what's the safety rules in the decade of action of for road safety 2011 to 2020. And then we wanted to get more about the strategic intervention to address the high accident rate on our South African roads. And then also, we'd be very much happy to give you this opportunity to give us the presentation. The Road Traffic Management Corporation and the South African Police Services then arrive alive. If you can, you can give us that briefing, the platform is yours. Over to you.
Thanks, Chair. Honourable members, colleagues, morning. Mine is just going to outline how we're going to do the presentation. The department is really more because we have an agency that is the RTMC, Focus on this job, which is responsible together with the department to outline the strategy. So what we've done is we've reserved the data that articulate the strategy. But as you will see in the documentation, they work together with the department so that we'll then engage with the members on any matters of policy or the practical plans for implementation if they arise. So the one issue we just want to flag is that we didn't make it part of this presentation. Any of the issues on which you are going to effect legislative amendments, we are happy to talk to the committee later on those, but they are not really affected on the strategy. We thought it's important just to give the presentation to the strategy. So I'll at this stage hand over to my colleague from the RTMC. I think that the fellow will speak to take us through the presentation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. There is a presentation in front of all of us, which I will read from. And on the content page, we'll start by outlining the Millennium Development Goal, the Ghana Conference Resolution. We'll go into some detail about the road safety strategy, the pillars of the Decade of Action for Road Safety 2011-2020, and then we will go into the pillars themselves, which are road safety management, safer vehicles, safer road users, safer roads, and post-crash care. We will talk about what we do in terms of coordination and implementation, results of implementation, challenges and threats, and we will conclude the presentation. On the Millennium Development Goal target, we have the Millennium Development Goal, eradication of poverty and hunger, reduction of child mortality, improvement of maternal health, ensure environmental sustainability, develop a global partnership for development, achieve universal primary education, combating HIV/AIDS, malaria, and other diseases, and providing gender equality and empowering women. It is noted that there is nothing on road safety on this. Hence, there was a response sent to this, which is in support of the NDG target. While there is no specific target for road safety, there is a relationship between transport and poverty. Rural access and urban mobility to be improved.
Sorry. I don't want to check that, but try not to use too much acronyms. Like we spoke about MDG, the members would like to get exactly what it is, so that they can be able to be targeted or to ask for clarification or questions. Thanks.
Noted, Chairperson. Millennium Development Goals target. While there's no specific target for road safety, as I've read out in the previous slide, there's a relationship between transport and poverty. Rural access and urban mobility need to be improved and costs need to be reduced. And we need to also reduce the response time for medical emergencies. In this regard, we talk of a golden hour after a patient gets off. And we need to ensure that the transport sector ceases to be an agent for the spread of HIV and AIDS. We mainly see this where truck drivers are involved. and we need to reduce half by half the rate of crash fatalities by 2020, which comes from the Decade of Action Global Road Safety Plan. And we need to improve access to employment, promote environmental stability in all transport sectors, harmonize standards in respect of axle load limits. There was then an African Road Safety Conference that was held in Ghana in 2007, and it was organized by the World Health Organization and the UN Economic Commission for Africa, UN being the United Nations. This was supported by a number of international road safety institutions, and most African countries were also in attendance. The objectives of the conference were as follows: to review progress made by African countries in improving road safety, implement recommendations of the World Report on Injury Prevention, prepare for the first United Nations Global Road Safety Week, and to develop national action plans for road safety for countries in the region, and identify ways to mobilize resources for road safety. That conference that gathered in 2007 resolved on the following recommendations: to establish a lead agency. In that regard, in South Africa, the Road Traffic Management Corporation is the lead agency in road safety. It means that we are the implementation arm. Improve data collection and management. Crash information management system. Monthly road safety reports. There's also the calendar report as well as the fiscal year report. Data collection is very important in managing road safety. We report on road fatalities periodically. And to commit to road safety education. In the RCMC, we have what we call participatory educational techniques. It's an engineering transfer project where learners in their communities identify road safety problems. Based on those road safety problems, they then develop modules or solutions in tackling that problem. And it's an institutionalized program in the corporation, which starts at the district level and culminates in international competition. The idea there is that there would be sufficient funding to implement the recommendations that come from the learners. It's not always the case, but that would be the bigger impact of the project. We also have the road safety debate competition, where learners debate road safety topics. In the past, they've debated the Decade of Action Road Safety. They've debated after implementation. This is to start the debate in their communities and in their schools, and thereby they themselves become road safety ambassadors where they come from. And introduction of road safety into school curriculum. At the moment, our school curriculum does not have road safety in the text itself, where it is taught as a separate subject. It is taught alongside the curriculum, and if it's not done, it's okay. So we are trying to have it as a compulsory thing that happens in the classroom, as opposed to it being at the discretion of the school or the agency. It should be institutionalized. In that regard, we have also a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Education to make sure that we achieve this very important target. Because when you get them at a young stage, then you really make them for life. To commit to improve road safety management. Approval of an integrated, comprehensive, and holistic national road safety strategy. All countries that have tackled this road safety issue have all come up with a very comprehensive road safety strategy. A road safety strategy will not come from the RCMC alone. It will come from the RCMC as an agency that implements. It will come from government, not just the Department of Transport as well. We are talking about the Department of Health. We are talking about the Department of Social Development. We are talking about the Department of Police Services. So that at the end of the day, it is an integrated plan where all parties have come to the party to to tackle a common call. Harmonize national action plans at sub-regional level. Set up ministerial summit on the decade of action, which is chaired by South Africa. Develop quick win enforcement plans in respect of serious traffic violations. Development of the national rolling enforcement plan with monthly targets. My colleague on my right, Mr. Ashraf Ismail, is the one that coordinates the program nationally. We have a target of stopping and checking 1 million vehicles a month. And in that, we have specific targets for certain offenses, such as alcohol. And so far, we're doing very well on the NRAP. We are exceeding some of the targets that we have set for ourselves. It's implemented by our 9 provinces, and we have the National Traffic Police, which then becomes your 10th province in a sense, and they also have targets towards the attainment of that objective. Partnership and collaboration. RTMC has established relations with the United Nations Road Safety Collaboration, International Road Traffic and Data Analysis Group, and Indian High Commission. At sub-regional level, collaboration with FedEx Taxi in respect of harmonization and UICR, which stands for Union International Chauffeur Routiers, is an international body of professional drivers. It positions driving as a profession which has standards and norms, and therefore that body serves globally to improve the standards of driving of professional drivers and to constantly monitor that. It was a great pleasure for us last year to have hosted the World Professional Drivers Championship last year in Sun City, August, which was a very great success. Various national transport and road safety NGOs, academic and research institutions, including the Medical Research Council, collaboration, community-based organizations, and the private sector. For us, this is one of those very key goals in our strategy plan. If you look at our corporate plan, you'll see that we have placed stakeholder relations really high because we do not believe that we can do it alone. It will take strong stakeholder relations to be able to achieve what we need to achieve. So government, business, the NGO sector has to rally behind the call. Develop rural road safety programs. This is incorporated into the national rolling enforcement plan targets, especially with regard to vulnerable road users, cyclists, pedestrians, and scholar transport. National road safety targets, there has been very limited progress. And we will see that in the next slide. Given the threats and challenges experienced in the traffic management environment, and if these are not adequately addressed, it is clear that we will not reach the 50% reduction target by 2015. If you look at the figures from 2005 to 2012, we are not making very significant strides. The figures are still very comparatively high. And this is the problem that sits before us. Our vision of safe roads in South Africa is supported by a mission of ensure safe, secure, and sustainable roads in South Africa. And our emphasis will always be on building consensus with our stakeholders. On the road safety strategy, the UN proclaimed 2011-2020, the decade of action for road safety. The guiding principles underlying the global plan are included in the safe system approach, which I will go into. This approach aims to develop a road transport system that is better able to accommodate human error and take into consideration on the vulnerability of the human body. We speak of forgiving roads. When you are in a crash situation, it should not be that a person has died. It should be that you've made a mistake and that mistake has been forgiven. The aim is to reduce fatalities by 50% by 2015. What is required from us as a lead agency. We need to develop management capacity to understand a country's road safety issues, coordinate key stakeholders to develop and deliver road safety strategies, provide a comprehensive strategy with intermediate and outcome targets, advocate for effective legislation to enable desired results to be delivered, ensure adequate funding and well-targeted resource allocation for intervention and related institutional management functions. We also need to promote research and development and knowledge transfer programs which actively influence improvement in intervention. Promote rail safety in South Africa and in the SADC region. Deliver interventions and target achievements. Provide robust and systematic monitoring and evaluation to measure performance and to review our performance constantly against the set targets. All this that is required from the RCMC is also captured in our founding legislation, the RCMC Act. If you go into Section 18 of the Act, it outlines the minimum 10 functions which should be form part of the RCMC, and all this also speaks to that. So we launched in May 2011. We have therefore embraced the Decade of Action for Road Safety 2011-2020. With the Decade of Action for Road Safety 2011-20, there is a global plan for the Decade of Action, which outlines a 10-year program of action aimed at reducing road penalties. So therefore, the blueprint is already there, and we need not start afresh. The RCMC is a member of the United Nations Road Safety Collaboration, and will report on implementation of plans. The RCMC is a lead agency for South Africa in line with Pillar 1 road safety management. One of the first things that you see when you look at the plan, the question that's asked is, do you have a lead agency for road safety? So it is very important to have a functional lead agency in order to be able to implement the plan. The same system approach comes up quite a lot in this and you can't talk of a plan of the global road safety plan without making reference to the safe system approach. We're talking about safer road systems, which is education in the terminology that we've used in the past in this country. We talk about safer vehicles. We talk about safer roads and roadsides, which is engineering. And we talk about safer travel speed, which is enforcement. All these different areas are working together at the same time to ensure that you have that forgiving road. The pillars of the Decade of Action: road safety management, safer roads and mobility, safer vehicles, safer road users, post-crash responses. The post-crash responses is what has happened after a crash has happened. And mainly you will see our sister agency playing an active role in that. It will become clearer later on in this presentation when we go into the different pillars. Road safety management requires that there be an approved road safety strategy. The department and ourselves have been working tirelessly on this. Data completeness and accuracy. We need to find new processes of gathering our data so that we can report accurately. We have launched what we call the crash info. We have developed the crash information management system internally as the RCMC, which is a geographical information systems-based technology. It really is a tool. When a crash happens, you are able to get the information at the RCMC head office within real time. And we can't wait to have this implemented. Establishment of the National Traffic Anti-Corruption Unit, which we launched last year. And we have seek collaboration with other law enforcement agencies and civil society organizations in this regard. This is one of those cancers that exist in the fraternity, the corruption, and we need to deal with corruption decisively without fear of it. And we talk of a 24/7 shift system for provincial traffic. When we launched the National Traffic Police, they worked 24/7 from day one. People die at night, on weekends, when our officers are off duty. And the 24/7 shift system will ensure that there is continuous law enforcement on our roads. We have been trying tirelessly to lobby our provinces to adopt the 24/7 shift system. Many have agreed, and we have agreed to timelines on that, and that has not happened. The Western Cape is on that model already. We also have a memorandum of understanding with the Council for Scientific and Industrial Research. They have all these fantastic scientists and engineers who have all this capacity to help us in the RTMC to be able to develop our own capacity. So we hope that this MOU will result in us building that tech capacity that we need, especially on our data side, where we really have admitted that our capacity internally is not positioned for what we want to do. And it's through collaborations with the scientific and industrial research that we will be able to do that. Proposed MOU with UNISA and the Medical Research Council, we also need to understand what it is that we are dealing with. For instance, if you look at the impact of alcohol and how youth behave, you'll find a lot that will inform your programs that you implement in the corporation. We are in constant touch with Corruption Watch, who will help us with tackling corruption through our anti-corruption unit. And in that regard, we are talking to each other on areas of collaboration and sharing of information. We have the annual RTMC, South African Road Federation Conference, which is going into its third year this year. This conference is a pillar that brings all the road safety players together and it monitors progress on interventions. We are trying to build capacity. Two RTMC officials have been trained in accident investigations in Germany. We have 12 officials, if it's slightly more now, trained at the Indian Technical and Economic Corporation in management development, information technology, enforcement techniques, and media management. And recently, one of the executives also came back from there from an executive development program because we realized that we need to build a strong agency to be able to do what we want to do. And we have one senior official trained by the FBI in the U.S. on anti-corruption techniques. Still on pillar one. The RTMC is a member of the Justice Crime Prevention Security Charter and the DEFCON Development Committee. This is where we are able to talk to each other as law enforcement authorities and streamline our plans. Traffic enforcement through RTMC is represented on this body for the very first time. Purpose is to share information, skills, and best practice among various enforcement agencies in order to make optimal impact within the criminal justice system. The national rollout of RTMC, something that has been on the pipeline for quite some time, and something that we as the RTMC believe should really happen, and we believe that it will have an impact on road user behavior. It has been piloted in 2 provinces, and plans are underway to study the pilot and to make sure that there is readiness from all our authorities, on our local municipalities, before the national rollout. Pillar 2, safer roads and mobility. In February 2011, we introduced the International Road Assessment Program, which assesses roads for safety and then rates them as a star 1, star 2, star 3, or star 4 road. We have an ambitious goal of getting rid of all high-risk roads. And it is through this International Road Assessment Program that we are able to do that. Just last month, the technical team from the program was in the cooperation putting together the plan for the rollout of this. this is a very exciting program for us because it also creates a new breed of professionals that we've never had in the country, which are your road safety auditors. We should then be able to say, this is a Star 1 road, and it should not be used, and these are the improvements that need to happen. And we should take it to the powers that be to make sure that they're able to implement that. And when we prioritize based on certain scientific findings. That's what in the National Road Assessment Program is about. Road Safety Audit Manual was published in May 2012. Load management for heavy freight industry to protect road infrastructure. Support of the transport management system. International Driver of the Year was hosted for the first time in Africa with the UICR. I spoke to that point earlier. Establishment of specialized traffic enforcement units for deployment along major arterial routes, weight bridges, truck stops, and toll gates, and the introduction of water retail. Pillar 3. Introduction of new car assessment programs for South Africa. We spoke about the standard of cars of roads earlier. The new car assessment program sets minimum standards, safety standards in vehicles. We should be able to say this is NCAP 1, NCAP 2, NCAP 3, and that will speak to the safety features that are in the car. This will also assist us as a country if we took a collective position that we want certain minimum standards of vehicles to be allowed here. Otherwise, we will become a dumping ground for vehicles that are not roadworthy. Greater collaboration between RTMC, the National Association for Automobile Manufacturers, NAMSA, and SATF, and the RMI, through our conference and through our pillar committees that stem from the conference, we have been able to bring all these parties together to work with the RTMC, because it is not us that do the work, but we can certainly advocate for it, and we can certainly convene that it happens. Introduction of periodic vehicle testing. That's the process that the Department of Transport is working on. Some cars are way too old and not too safe. And in order for you to make sure that they're still worthy of being on our road, periodic vehicle testing has to be introduced. It's something that is happening in the Department of Transport, which is working on that. Greater enforcement focus on vehicle fitness, particularly on passenger transport vehicles, as well as professional rolling enforcement tax. Passenger transport vehicles. When bus flies, you know how many people die. So it's no surprise that we would have a greater enforcement focus on that. Operation Juggernaut, which focuses on fast vehicles. The most vulnerable road users. 80% of the fatalities are adults and males in the category 19 to 54 years of age. Pedestrians. Just under 40% of the fatalities comprise of pedestrians in both urban and rural areas. Drivers, with those aged between 25 and 34, new and experienced, inexperienced, most susceptible. Passengers, the majority of fatalities being female who rely on public transport vehicles. Children are vulnerable as both pedestrians and passengers. Pillar 4. Talk about safe road users. Smart policing in respect of excessive speed transgressions and moving violations, particularly dangerous driving. 1 million stop and check targets per month nationally as part of the National Rolling Enforcement Plan to continue and to be expanded. What we have also done in the RTMC in support of this and the program was to actually go to the province, because they don't report to us, so when they give us figures, we don't know whether they're telling the truth or not. And we have gone to the extent of going there to send our internal audit team to go and audit if really what we're reporting is authentic. So that's what we do as well on the National Rolling Enforcement Center and other things. Operation staff, minimum of 10,000 screenings per month nationally. That's drunk driving. Ongoing road safety education and communication, especially for pedestrian safety. Proposal, introduction of road safety school curriculum. We really, really must get this one this year. It's very pronounced in our strategic plan. expansion of Scholar Patrol project as part of our Safe Kids Walk This Way and Sing Pedestrian project. Scholar Patrol program is one of those very old road safety programs which really has to grow. What we could do in the past was that we could not reach the number of schools that we wanted to reach based on the limitation of funds. Mobilization of community road safety capital, which is a program that falls under the Department of Transport. We need to see how we position these councils to be more effective in what they're supposed to do. Proposed introduction of a graduated license system for new drivers, where restrictions will apply in respect of alcohol limits, the carrying of passengers, and the application for professional driving course permits for a probatory period of 2 years. On the 20th of December, we launched our multi-platform, multi-promote, comprehensive, get there, no regrets campaign, which incorporates TV, radio, print, and outdoor media, amongst many things. This campaign has the social media aspect to it, it has a website element to it, it has an outreach element to it, and it's something that we will carry through the life of the decade. On pillar 5, we have post-crash responses. The proposals here include the incorporation of the incident management system with disaster management, establishment of trauma information databases, develop effective tools to monitor compliance with incident management, development of guidelines by the health sector for what goes to trauma care to reduce fatalities and the potential of permanent disablement caused through injury. This is where our sister agency that really plays the road accident fund, really plays a critical role. The second annual road safety conference. That's the conference that we have annually for the next 10 years, and it will happen annually in October every year. 2011 conference produced resolutions under the 5 pillars. Each pillar is chaired by experts from the sector with additional members from government authorities, NGOs, private sector, and civil society. At the second annual road safety conference, the draft national road safety strategy will be tabled. The framework for that strategy was tabled today. Collaboration with international road safety institutions for best practice adoption. After the strategy has been consolidated between ourselves and the department, it will be presented to the shareholders committee for final approval and implementation. Continuous progress report to the portfolio committee on transport. This just shows how the subcommittees of the different pillars are constructed. You will see that we have really attempted to give leadership to affected agents, such as your industry, your professional associations, ourselves, taking the lead in coordinating these committees, because like we said, it's everybody's responsibility. Coordinating and implementation. The Road Traffic Management Coordinating Committee, mother body that sets the mandate and monitors performance based on national prerogatives, the RTMCC. The RTMCC has representation from all provinces and is the key coordinating structure for the RTMC in terms of law enforcement. And under that, you have what you call Law Enforcement Technical Committee, which is the implementation arm, really, and makes proposals to the RTMCC. 11 technical committees covering various road safety, traffic management, enforcement, legislation issues are also in place. Development of harmonized operation plans for spheres of government, the implementation of plans, monitoring and evaluation of programs, auditing of impact, output and outcomes. I made an example of the National Rolling Enforcement Plan earlier, and remedial measures when necessary. It's very important that as and when we introduce new programs, we monitor their impact so that we can then adopt the necessary improvements. results of implementation, stronger coordination and harmonization, filling from the same new sheet, effective monitoring and evaluation, which I spoke to, greater awareness of road safety through vigorous media campaigns. Our general address is very essential in what we need to do. Small but significant year-on-year reduction in offense and casualty figures. Increasing support from the private sector. Challenges and threats. Lack of resources. Road safety has remained one of those underfunded programs in view of very many government priorities. Hence, we see the results that we see. 24/7 traffic surveillance, asphalt land. We need to be on the roads when it matters most. Lack of HR capacity. We have a shortage of traffic officers. 17,000 officers to police a road network of 750,000 kilometers. Has been enough. Internally in the RTMC, we have been plagued by low morale leading to lifestyle turnover. We've had our own corporate governance challenges. And we are very proud that today we can sit here and say, in the last financial year, we've got an amplified audit report. Fraud and corruption in the sector is quite right. We need to intensify efforts here. And we need to educate South Africans. Because it takes two parties. Fragmentation of road safety efforts. When we are pulling in different directions, it happens we don't always agree. And at the time that we do not agree, it's our people that die on our roads. And then there is this constant opposition when you are trying to come up with new things. Road safety experts, they come out in large numbers and attack efforts. We're actually making a call to them to say, come and rather work with us. Because we've never said that we have the solution to everything. In conclusion, statistics from high-income countries provide ample evidence that road crashes and fatalities can be reduced through specific efforts in the widely recognized prospective model of the 3 E's, engineering, enforcement, and education. In our low and middle-income countries, we have a smaller car park, while in high-income countries, they have a bigger car park. Yet we register the highest amount of fatalities. With sufficient political and financial support, South Africa can go a long way towards realizing the objectives of safer roads, safer vehicles, and safer road users. We cannot overemphasize the issue of political support. If you have the right political support, most things will fall into place. You find that you will not have a funding challenge. Amongst other things, you find that you get a lot of backers who know that you have the political support to achieve what you need to do. A consistent, committed, and sustained decade of action is needed, not a decade of talking. And when you say consistent, you also talk of every day, because people die every day. It's not just during the Easter season. Or during the December, we count dead bodies on a daily basis. Collaboration and cooperation are the hallmarks of this integrated national road safety strategy. Honourable members and colleagues, I thank you very much for listening to what we have to say.
Thank you. Thank you for the presentation. Something very interesting. You see, members already, they are ready for you to ask questions. One hand was up already. I'll give an opportunity to achieve. Yeah. You see, when we question about issue of acronym, you started right, but at the end, you continue with acronym.
cover that for
future. I'd like to reserve my question. I want to keep this opportunity to remember.
No, thank you very much. The reason why I jumped for the opportunities, for reasons I had shared with you earlier, that at 11 o'clock I'll be meeting with the speaker, so I wanted to use this opportunity. Chair, I must say, also Rufil, you started very well. It was quite encouraging. But towards the end, you depressed me, because then the key question becomes whether if we'll be able to achieve all these things that we are setting for ourselves. It is as good as saying, this is what we have, but it is not achievable, based on the last issues, particularly with regard to the financial commitments. That will have a serious effect on the implementation and the impact of what you want to achieve. But some specific issues, I might not be around for the answers, but let me just raise the issues. You raise a matter consistently and with great emphasis on alcohol as a key driver or cause of major fatalities and so on our roads. But I, the first question that comes to mind is, with the years that I've been issued with a driver's license, or I was issued with a driver's license, I can't remember when last was I just tested for alcohol. Whether it be weekends, festive, your Easter period and so forth. I don't know why is it that the RTMC can use that as a program of action. I don't think you need billions for that. I have been stopped on a regular basis for check, general check, you know, to check my license, my disc, my tires, my everything. But never have I been tested for alcohol. And I think it's an issue that can also serve as a deterrent. If it becomes part of the normal road checks and so forth, in these instances. The second issue is that you put a lot of emphasis, and I don't know how do you then realign the policy position of the department, with the Department of Education, with the Department of Health, in ensuring that there's greater cooperation in the kind of work that you seek to do. Institutionalization of road traffic education in the education system. You don't say in your presentation to what extent have you done work with the Department of Education, whether if there's a buy-in by the Department of Education, do they have the capacity, or do you have the capacity to deploy people who then be in schools as teachers on that particular subject matter and so forth. We would know without glorifying the apartheid education system. But we know that there were periods where on a day, once in a week or so, at school, primary and higher primary, where would be taken out and just taught general, you know, rules of the road, what to do when you have to cross the road, what to look at, what to do first and so forth and so forth. I mean, to a point where I got my first license while I was doing standard 7 at school. So that in itself, it shows that once integrated, it can have a positive impact in the development of a child. So it would be good for us to be told the extent to which the education department has brought in into this thing. An interesting one. You say that you have send one senior official to be trained by the FBI on the anti-corruption and so forth. And the first question was, why one? The subsequent question then was, why the FBI? When we do have our own intelligence capacity in the country, are we overlooking our own capacity? Are we saying that we don't have? Are we saying that our intelligence family is so useless? that we cannot utilize its resources to then build in. But at the same time, you then say to us that you are working very closely with the Scientific Research Council and so forth to provide those technical. Now, why when it comes to intelligence gathering and so forth, you then rush to the U.S., which brought me to the third aspect, silently, where I said to myself, no wonder why the FBI knows so much about us. Because we invite them, we provide them with our own information, and then they collect our information and even use it against us when you speak of the operations of the intelligence family. So how then do you ensure that as you send our people to be trained by the FBI, they are safeguards, that we don't voluntarily as well as a country open ourselves so much that we become vulnerable in the intelligence world and so forth. And I don't know whether if the Minister for Intelligence is aware that there are agents. And you know, I'm raising this thing against the backdrop of what we as just held with the Protection of State Information Bill. Because for obvious reasons, as you bring these guys back, where are they going to operate from? Within the state. They'll be using the expertise that they have gathered from the FBI to operate within our state. How sure are we that that information is going to be protected and so forth? So that's a very important one. The last one, I think it's a very interesting one. I don't know whether if, because that's what, so I don't know where does it come from the official languages that we have in our country. And I was just thinking, maybe the page, maybe I might not have read the page properly. So language, are you using language correct? Operation Swarale Dawa or Operation Swarale Dawa, if it is Soto or whatsoever. So I just thought that I must raise these issues. I might not be there for responses, but of course I would rely on the committee secretary too. And of course I take it that it's not our last engagement also for the year. Thanks.
Yes, before I
announce
members, because we are having a line of demarcation as well with regards to operational line. I don't know where the proper consultation was done when we just jumped to FBI. Because as we indicated, I think we do have our identity challenge in here. Do they have to pass it or not, but we thought that they only have to pass it. That's why we need to make a follow-up because it's very sensitive. No one to be misquoted that the project quoted to some of the lines of operation while it's above ourselves. Because we are making our country vulnerable to other things which are above us. But nevertheless, let me give this opportunity to our other members. I'll start with the last of this slide. I'll start by Babu Jacob, followed by Mama, followed by Ubaba Honorable Mama Mlenzana, followed by Babu Krinwan. But this is what I wanted to address, you know. I send the initial opportunity to note our question as usual. I know that we know them. So that we can make follow-ups. Thank you very much. I'll be the last.
Yeah. Thanks, Chair. And also thank you for the presentation. Chair, I'm going to be harsh. Here we are dealing with human beings. We are dealing with lives of people. The presentation was good, but to me it is academic. Research, that and that and that. If the presentation is good, you should see it in the street, where we don't experience any deaths, or to the minimum. But as you see, the rate of death in our world is increasing. And I don't know, maybe they should have diagnosed this when it comes to research and so on. And also, we are talking about lack of funds. But I think we need to do basic things. To me, things which causes deaths or deaths can be alcohol. The first one is alcohol. Bad roads, corruption, as well as vehicles. Honorable Dawi has already said that people are not tested. I think I'm older than Dawi, and I got my license long, long time ago. I have never been tested. So it really shows that we are not serious about the safety of our people. Roads, how do we enforce our provinces? Should see to it that there are no good roads. Roads are good for people who are struggling in those roads. Corruption, I'm happy that you are about to establish anti-corruption unit. I think it's a common cause everywhere. Licenses are sold. And they are doing absolutely nothing. And these people are the ones who are causing accidents in our roads. Vehicles also, traffic cops, they can be bought. That the vehicle should pass the test. So these are some of the issues that we need to look into. And some of the things, they don't need a lot of money. For instance, the debt that we have in our roads, the money that we use when we try to involve in this accident. I was also thinking, because we know the days of the seasons where we are getting most of this. For instance, Easter, the festive season, the rush hours and so on. But why don't we have temporary employees during festive season? Because the other issue, it is the visibility of law enforcement. It has been said here, provinces have not responded to 24/7. I think we have raised this with Honorable Smooth last time. To say law enforcement officers should always be visible in our streets. And we even made a proposal to say when you employ new traffic officers, in the agreement they must agree to work shifts. Because I think that can help. Because as it is now, our laws, they only allow them to work from 8 to 5. But they don't work after it. Where I've seen a traffic officer after 10 o'clock, I know it was before 12. It is in the Western King, as we have said. But in other provinces, you don't see these traffic officers. You see them up to 8 or 9 o'clock. So I think that's one thing. But I'm saying if you can have temporary law enforcement officers during busy days, like during Easter, like the festive season. And also, we know the high-risk roads. And what are we doing about that? We will only say this is a mulatto road, it's a high-risk road. But we don't put things to cap what is actually happening there. So that's why I'm saying we need to do that. And also, I'm also have this special task force that will deal with anti-corruption. I think it should have been placed by yesterday, because that's where we are having a lot of corruption in the offices of the tribal courts. You know, when you are talking the research on this technology, I would have encouraged you that maybe we need to have a car when somebody comes into a car, and if he's drunk, he does not move. So if you can get that kind of technology. Maybe it would assist us. Because, as we have said, some of these problems, they are caused by alcohol. But there's nothing that we are doing. And this education, it's good that we are starting a school for future citizens of this country. But to me, also, it's not enough. It is a target, but the target, also the target, it should be those who are driving. How do we educate them? And that is because they have licenses, they are educated. But from time to time, we need to remind them. We need to, as I'm saying, here we are dealing with human beings. It's not good that you always read about statistics to say during December time, it's 1,500 people, 1,600 who have died during the festive season. And we know that period is a critical period where we need to be cautious in what we are doing. So I'm thinking we need to stop talking, we need to stop writing, but we must act.
Thank you. Honourable Mama Temba.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Rasulio, for the presentation. When you started, you told us Millennium Development Goals, the target. I thought when you go deeper in your presentation, I'll hear how all of this, putting them into context, how you are going to deal with them. For example, the one that is next to my heart, the gender equality and the empowerment of women. I thought you will really give us something that is, you know, that we also are going to put in our program, in our constituencies, so that we make sure that it's implemented. And then also on the Ghana Conference Resolution, you have what here, the recommendation, and then you've got the progress. You can explain to us, because progress is participatory educational techniques, road safety debate. Where is this being done? We are from different provinces. We are from the rural areas. How are you really informing the rural about this? Where are these debates? Can you maybe mention one? Where have you started? But if you have started maybe in housing, I will regret to hear that, because we want these things to be really to start Emakai, because we sometimes think for this channel and the Makai, not we are not it. So if you can just explain that to us.
Excuse me, Chairperson, I'll take this also problem.
Out of order,
change. Honourable members, you know what, please, cool down. You'll have the opportunity when you give me a chance. Finish my mark.
Yeah.
No, continue, my
friend. Yes. And then, the research. You spoke about the research. The research of have you started the research as yet, or is the research still going to take place? And then the report, continuous progress report to the portfolio committee. you can maybe clarify that. How are you going to continuously report to the portfolio committee, or which portfolio committee is that? Maybe if you can clarify, we will understand exactly what you mean. Because here you are also sitting with the select committee. So we don't want you to take us as, you know, minor. If you report someone, even here we want to get that information. The 24/7, I think Honorable Dow or Honorable Jacob asked, can you tell us which provinces that reached the deadlock? And maybe it will help in future if you come to us, if your presentation gives us, you know, specific incidents per provinces, that will really assist us. Thank you.
Honourable Member, Lemba.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Some of them have been touched, but unfortunately, Chair, I have to drop back my questions my own way. So, for instance, your 24/7 shifts. I would start by concurring with Honorable Temba. But unfortunately, Chairperson, this presentation is not meant for the select committee. It's meant for the portfolio committee. This presentation is not prepared for people who have the interest of profit, like us. When I get, that's why Honorable Freshman is out of order here. It's because he has got vested interest in Gauteng. Then when I sit here, I have got interest for the province of the Eastern Cape. The same, but now your report here, it's floating. It's like you have never been with us. But we are now winding up. We are winding up now. It's very unfortunate.
Here you are saying you have a challenge of the enthusiasm teaching. In essence, that's what you're saying. That you are toothless, you cannot bite, you cannot make provinces account. You are just there, warming up your sits unable to decide. That's what you are telling us. And unfortunately, linking to what also Mamutebo was saying, ironically, you undermine the select committee, which is able to assist you, because no portfolio committee would dare to able to call those MECs who are spying you. But this select committee is very able. That's why we want the mayors of these provinces. It's because we are able to summon them here and make them accountable. But unfortunately, it is the select committee that you, in turn, are undermining. You feel that you are better placed to report in the portfolio committee than in the select committee on public health. That's what you're telling us. Chair, I would ask a question also related to that. This is the question I asked in the Eastern Cape. How are the conditions of employment for traffic officers? Are they not employed under the Public Service Act? Because if then they are employed under the Public Service Act, PDG, then you have got no other way other than paying overtime, which would chow all the meager funds that are not even there. So what it means then is that you have to relook into your employment conditions of your traffic officer if you want to realize the 24/7 shift system. back then during your coming. Also linked to the visibility. It would have been better. Unfortunately, the presenter was saying your provinces do not account to you and you are not even sure of the information they are giving to you. Another unfortunate thing is that you come and tell us that you are sitting with unreliable information from province. You come and tell us. One would ask Chair, your staff contingent, your capacity in terms of implementing the road safety strategy, do you have capacity? If yes, how much contingent do you have? Can we check person be told just for a start, because one would have loved a situation where you are able to say the 100 kilometer range, you have got so many traffic officers in the road. But can you tell us just per 200 kilometer range in our road, how many officers have because this person is worried that we would always talk of a united democratic South Africa, only to find that practically you are talking of a fragmented federal South Africa when it comes to implementation of policy, when the policy on paper is talking the other way around. This has to be clarified also, Chairperson, so that we don't allow a situation where the department who are doing their own thing outside the policy framework of the country. Chair, I am a rural boy. Now, when you are talking of incorporating the strategy to rural road safety strategy hub, here, it's a pity this document is not numbered, Chair. But on your Ghana conference resolution, the last page, you are talking the recommendations, develop rural road safety programs and then progress, incorporated into NREP target, especially with regards to vulnerable road users, cyclists, pedestrians, scholar transport, etc. I'm interested in what just where incorporated. How? This chart links to the presenter has been talking mobilization of communities, identification of key stakeholders. They don't know which are the key stakeholders. So I've seen some almost towards the end of the presentation. But now, Chair, to what extent of involvement are the other spheres of government? You have mentioned I've seen this long list of stakeholders that's back here, Chairperson, where they are categorized. But I'm interested now to what extent are these stakeholders involved? You have mentioned SALGA there, a body at a national level. To what extent are your local municipalities, your district municipalities involved? Because here we are operating all of us from one. We go to what level? We go to voting district level. Nobody is floating. Chair, the last one, also on how, would be the cooperation between, here you have spoke of taxi council. How do you interact with this taxi council? How regular do you interact with that? Chair, there are many of your questions, but given chance, I'll come back. Let me reserve some for now. Thanks.
Right. Honourable Member Rudevalt, and then I'll come back.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to know how do South Africa compares with the rest of Africa regarding regarding the deaths on the roads. And here specifically, if we're looking into development Africa countries like Nigeria, Egypt, and like countries. You mentioned it that the next road safety conference is from now on every October. So I want to know, where is the next one? Is it in South Africa or in which country? And who are the people who is involved to these conferences? Are you take politicians also in consideration? And who is the politician who's going to that conference? And specifically, this committee of us, are you also think of us or are you just with us aside? And then you're talking about deaths and accidents on roads. I also want to know here how can we compare it with good roads and bad roads in South Africa? Because if I'm listening on the radio and television, it seems to me the major accidents is mostly on our better roads in many cases. So I want to know, why is it so? What is the reason for that? And also, when do we have the most accidents, in the night or in the day? So that we can see, maybe it's in the night and then there's something wrong. We must look into that as well. And if I'm looking into the new roads, really our roads are very good. We can't really complain about that. The new roads, the new building roads, is in a very good condition. And I think we are moving a bit forward regarding that. And I also mentioned, I think in the past few years, Chairperson, that the roads conditions are is a bit better. But there is roads in some of our provinces, it's getting worse. And I think that also must get a lot of attention. And I know maybe it's not on your field, but the corruption is taking place in the building of roads and all that. That is also a problem in that respect. Then the death toll on our roads. You said we've got 1,200 or 1,400 during the festival season. But on a daily basis, there's 30 to 40, as you mentioned before the meeting, people killed on the roads. But that is only people killed on the roads. I want to know, what about the people who's killing or who died after an accident, 1 or 2 or 3 days after an accident in a hospital? So that is not included in this figures you give us. So if you can elaborate on that for us a bit more, I would appreciate it. What were the successes? You've got this campaign on our roads to stop a million vehicles during it. What is the success of it? And what are you doing with the information you've got out of it? You pull the vehicles off, but what happened to that vehicles? One or other time, the vehicles is gone. Are they getting back onto the road to a certain destination? Or what happened to that that specific vehicles? I know there was vehicles who was on their way to Zimbabwe during the festival season. They load that trucks higher than the roof, and some of that vehicles were standing next to the road for a couple of days. So what happened? I can't let that happen, that the vehicles stand there. I also the 24/7 shift system. What is the reason for a system not working in all the provinces? So you said it seems to me it's only one province that was successful, but what about all the other provinces? What mechanism do you have to put pressure on the other provinces so that they're also working in that province? I've had a problem with that. Then in the Northwest province, you mentioned that also about the way bridges. There's a couple of way bridges in the Northwest province never work. I was in the legislature since 2004 in the Northwest province. They built way bridges up there. And today, up to today, it was never working. And I know there was millions of rand spending on that way bridges. And it is just there for nothing. So that is also a problem. And when these big trucks recognized about a way bridge on a certain road, they took other roads. What are you doing? What about the mobilized type of a weight bridge we can move around? I think we must think about that as well. that will help a lot. I also, Chairperson, that's my last question, about the FBI. I also have a problem with that. I was last year, this time in Great Britain, in London, also on a financial conference, and it feels, me and my colleague from the ruling party was sitting there, and we've got that feeling, these people want the information from us. Actually, we are agents for them, cheap agents, at the end of the day, to give information, and they use it at the end of the day, just as another one said, against us. Thank you very much.
Okay. Before I start to ask you any question, I'd like to acknowledge the presence of the honorable member, Mabitsha. He's also a member of this committee, originally from the Bombo province. Right. Let me start. You see, I'm happy because I gave this opportunity to the members. And then, one of my Jacobs, when he started, I thought that he would be going to be straight to some. Yes, he was straight, but it was not enough. You see, let me come with this. The reason I'll focus on your presentation, or actually on your presentation, you raised some of the challenges and threats. It's unfortunate you didn't put numbers, but in future you must put numbers so that you quit to. When we say, then check, double check. To me, it is a contradiction. I'll show you something what I mean. When we say there is a lack of resources, and then you said also in your conclusion that if, or when, but policy number two, with sufficient political and financial support, with sufficient political and financial support, South Africa can go a long way towards realizing an objective of safer roads, safer vehicles, and safer road users. I can't understand what you mean exactly. That's why I'm saying this is a contradiction. I'll put an example. Have you ever tried to put or to lay out your program or your business plan as which is going to suit your budget as it was anticipated? Because sometimes it's very easy to put in, to point the finger at PNG, that PNG, there's a lack of resources you don't support, but why you never submitted any business plan, which is equivalent to it, which you need. They were trying to do that. And it was refused. And if it was refused, whether I would understand. But if you did not, I think you must take up that lack of resources because you never tried to lay down the budget which will be equivalent to the task which you are anticipating. And then you are saying lack of HR capacity, we are running short of 17,000 officers. So while you see in South Africa the issue of unemployment is very high. People will be very high, they will enjoy to get that. You know? But you see, let us be practical. The Uwamulenza raised something that you must run with for some of the provinces to make them to be federal. I don't want to go deeper to that one. In this fashion, you see, like Uma Matema also raised the issue that we belong to, both of them, we belong to the province. But most of the time, when you put your presentation, you don't be specific that which province is giving you a problem. You just get it right. I'll put another example. You reported about the actual something like that, I can't remember which bit, where you said there are only two pilot projects. What is the difference? What is difficult? Have you ever tried? I mean, I understand. I know exactly what you mean if you check, talk in terms of the pilot project. But for how long is it going to stay in the pilot project? But because most of the time you will tell us about the pilot project, but how can you, when? pilot, would read the pilot project Apache well. And there is a question which I've wrote again, which, you know, what about the center that issue and rule where still provided with license? Yeah, and then what are you doing with those rights? I'll put an example which is nearly there, not exactly. Do you still remember the issue of, because you know you remember when I started spoke about contradictions which are making me unable to understand exactly what you want from us as a student. Because, you know, one example, do you still remember about you? The recent case where runners were knocked down by the car. My understanding, like the proposal by the president, if the agents, if you are the one who leads about the proposal that this must be taken, these are the questions which are going to influence in the court, the justice system, that these people have requested this and this and this. But if you don't come to, I mean, come on floor about some of the proposals, you will always point the finger to justice, while you yourself never have one to three. I'll put another example. You still remember the case, I think it was in Free State, whereby a driver was spotted in the CCTV cameras. He knocked down a person in the pavement. After that, he parked the car, get outside and kicked him. First, he knocked him down in the car. What is your response in that regard? Because, for example, even your comment from the people who are responsible with roads and traffic, we never heard even your single comment about that one. We're just quiet as you are quiet now. These are some of the contradictions which are supposed to be corrected. Because in your presentation you spoke about human humanitarian, etc., etc., but practically, that is opposite. And then also, there is a one from your first papers, you said, ensure one of the transport responses in support of MDG's targets. You said to ensure that the transport sector ceases to be an agent of the spread of HIV and AIDS. You see, there is a quite difference between the theory and the practical. Practically, what do you do? What programs do you have in order to politicize or to educate those people who are driving trucks or whatever people? Because it was going to be sufficient to say, as this sector, we are having this proposal, here is our business plan in terms of this meant to cease from 1 to 3. But as long as you don't have, but I don't mean a physical dumping, because some of the people want to start to ask questions, they go back and draft 1 to 3, because it was the end of the budget time, and then start to practice the physical dumping. No, we need reality. The thing is going to be sustained for a couple of times. And then, Mama Temba, you see, I was late when you raised something, because sometimes when the departments are giving us presentation, they don't reduce it to provinces. They focus on national disability. As I indicated, we need exactly tell us that province such, we have done 1, 2, 3. In this province, we're cooperating. Simple term. This province is not cooperative. So that we are the one, in terms of the law and in terms of the PFMA, we are the ones who are supposed to make a follow-up whether the province is doing 1 to 2 whatever. We are the ones. But if we are not told, then how are we going to go straight to those for a particular province which are affected? And then, lastly, as I hinted, you know, you said, on your pillar one, safety management, you said you trained about 12 officials. I don't know exactly what that means. National, or you trained the officials and deployed them to the provinces, because it's another fundamental question, whereby we say, I've trained 12 officials. If you kept them national, if you don't deploy them in the province, what do you expect? How are they going to discharge your program? Because they are kept somewhere, you train them correctly so. And yet after this, nothing happening. Anyway, that one not once in official trained by FBI. We need full details about it. As I indicated. So that we can be clarified. Because we don't want to be, you know, involved in some of the issues. As I indicated about that, because we don't want one to. Yes. I indicated the issue of the national phone out in the action. That also tell us exactly which the thing which was raised by Mama Temba when by one of the honorable members said what to say. Mama Temba was correct more than 100%. Mama Temba said he didn't say that there's nothing is anything wrong with counting. But she was indicating that some of the mistakes which you normally used to happen nationally, they all focused in two or three provinces. That is Gauteng, Western Cape, Japan. Most of this. I mean, KwaZulu-Natal. But if you go to the provinces, nothing. There's nothing. So, we want you to have that link. And then the last one is your cooperation. If there is any cooperation, there's a tackle. Because we do have a national body for our people. If you do have the relationship and the last one. You indicated somewhere with the some of these cases, I mean, which are taking school kids, but you put it in another way here. How do you make sure that they are working with? Because I believe now it's not for the first time you indicated that you need 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, but time and again we are still experiencing some of the road accidents caused by them. What do you do? What program do you have for that? Thank you. I'd like to give you this opportunity to now we come to the second one. Yes. You want to ask?
Yeah.
Once I open with the I'll open for them.
No.
It's only by then we close it.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. No, it goes with my comment, Chair.
Yeah.
If you can look, Chair, the cover of this document, I want to tell Mr. Tulu Mohale that this document was not prepared for the Select Committee of Public Enterprise. I mean, sorry, public service. This is a cut and paste document. That is why she said she will continuously report to the Portfolio Committee on Transport. It's because this document was not meant for us. Thank you, Chair.
Again, one more question. The idea that she was ready for us. This document she was ready for. It's not just about cover page. I mean, from her own input, it tells a lot that you're not prepared for this SPP. No. It's not a typing exam. It's not a typing exam. You knew very well that you are coming to the SOP. But what am I going to say? Let's give you an opportunity to respond and then we'll come with something. Thank you, Baba Mlinza.
I'm now going to ask my colleague Ashraf to come in and put a perspective to some of the questions. And after he has gone through his responses, I will also come in on some areas.
Sorry, Mama Temba. Sorry. You triggered me much now. Honorable Mama Temba and Honorable Jacob.
Chair, I think before Mr. Ishmael respond, can we hear from the active? Can we hear why, where does this document come from?
Yeah.
Before any response, can she explain about this document? Actually, this is an oversight on us because we shouldn't have even sat down and listened to you in the first place.
Yeah, this is not our question.
When we got the correspondence from the department,
department to live, and we looked at the subjects that needed to be covered. We saw road safety interventions in road safety, and it is with that viewpoint that we crafted this presentation. The cover on the presentation is duly regretted. If we had put it on PowerPoint, it's unfortunate it's design. That error was corrected. And on the issue of the Portfolio Committee on Transport, it is indeed correct that it is the Portfolio Committee on Transport. There's a reason we put it there. It talks to the issue of ourselves, the RTMC, as a lead agency being able to fulfill our mandate. There is a historic context where the RTMC was at some point crippled to be able to execute its functions. And the Portfolio Committee on Transport has been missing the RTMC there to help take that oversight role. So it is in that regard that that point of the Portfolio Committee has come in. We've had to report on the progress that we were making with regards to the task team that was appointed in the RTMC to look at corporate governance issues that had totally collapsed. So it is with that view that that was put in, that we will continue to report to the Portfolio Committee on the progress that we are making on nursing the RTMC back to health.
I'll comment later on the
Chair, it is regrettable that Ms. Mugale is lying to us. Because it's quite clear, yeah, this is a cutting base. This is what's not meant for me, for us. And I thought she would apologize instead of making excuses. Because what she's saying, there are excuses. And also, you don't only report to a Portfolio Committee on Transport. Because also, as a select committee, we are part of Parliament. We are not by the way. We are another House of Parliament where you need to report to us. As it then said, this report does not capture anything that happens in the provinces. So it was not meant for us, it was meant for Portfolio Committee. So she must not come in here and lie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry. I came in very late. I was busy doing something. But now I feel very much disappointed. And I'm cross from within with what is happening here. Because I could have stayed in my office and do some important, attend to important issues. They made their input. And it's like we are not supposed to be here because this does not belong to us. I don't understand why we should go on and not attend the meeting. And we will come to a meeting where we belong. We do not belong here because the document does not fit to us. Unless if we want to stoop too low, just let it go. No, no. If I'm too hard, I'm sorry, but that's how I perceive the whole situation. And I'm proposing that we adjourn and arrange a meeting that belongs to the select committee with correct documents.
Thank you, Chairperson, for the last word. That's the reason I didn't act on the document. I mean, if Mr. Ishwar is going to give feedback on it, it's going to speak to this document. So I agree with the Honorable Mafija. Through you, Chairperson, it's your decision. But he can't give feedback on this document. I thank you.
Okay. Honorable members, let me give you a comment. Whoever is across, the members are on the street. You should attack your ways. You've realized this before. But honorable members, I wanted to appeal that let's continue in the sense. Before I reach that, then you must learn to apologize. In the house, we do have two houses here in Parliament. We do have national assets. We do have National Council of Provinces. Maybe you are not aware. National Council of Provinces. That's why earlier on I called the PFMA going with it to tell you, even the constitution of this country. We did not educate you who we are. But you ought to know exactly that if you see any communicator from us, you know exactly at whom you are going to. And then, honorable members, my appeal to cool down is that when Uber was started to interact, Uma tried to defend herself by saying that if there was an in a screen, she was going to show us something that the document maybe belongs to us. While the hard cover, I mean, this hard document is funding us. But with that reservation, because we have already started to ask questions, let us allow them to instruct. But with the big note that, please don't undermine us.
Thank you, Chairperson. I understand what you are saying, but I completely do not agree. It's my personal understanding. Because then it means we are saying let's discuss the information that does not belong to us. Are we just curious to know what is going on? Or we want to have information that will assist us to have way forward of implementation of services concerning safe roads in South Africa, in provinces where we come from? Do we want to stoop low to feel like we must say, it's okay, let's continue. When we are arguing that the document does not belong to this select committee, I don't understand how we are perceiving the rules. Maybe I'm too below. My IQ is below the level of normal understanding of things. But if I am wrong, my IQ is okay. I'm really against the decision that we must continue.
Okay, Mama Chairman.
You know, I think sometimes the people who give other people, their colleagues, an authority to act doesn't really give them the full information of where they are going. That's why I wanted the acting, is that DDG? You are acting CEO. You see, next time I think it must be upon us when a person is acting, coming to us before we even start and understand whether that person has been explained what he or she is going to do. And with our understanding of what we want, we listened to the presentation and we asked questions that are relevant to what we want. That's what we did. That's why we were telling you, ma'am, that we represent provinces and the service delivery that we are actually being oversight on is in provinces. So, Chair, because of the questions that we really have asked, can I appeal with my colleagues that we get that responses, but the department and the agency must now go and sit down. We want a letter of apology written to this committee. That's my appeal, thank you.
Okay. Members, let's do this now. Let us not get dialogue. I want you to request for you. Because you, what you have raised is very, very valid. DDG, make sure next time that when you send the team, send the team. Because it's a corner on our shoulders to say goodbye. And we do have powers to call the minister. That minister, in your department, this and this is happening. You spoke about capacity. Why yourself you're not capacitated? This is a harmful experience and exercise to us. That's why members are becoming like this. Because we feel most of the time that we're being undermined. That's never happened. And the Umama Chamber, we are requested that all the members, before you go out, Mama Chamber, Mama Chamber is appealing to members to request, not demanding, that we have posed some questions. Let's give them opportunity to respond with the condition that we need an apology from the DG's office. Since what the DG?
No, thank you. I think that the committee is entitled to any decision in relation to what needs to happen going forward. But insofar as the content of the presentation, you see, I do feel for the executive manager, because in fact it was the CEO who received this invite. We were here, and it was Friday, for the shareholders meeting. And there's nothing new about how the committees are structured. So what's in the content, to me, is really worth apologizing for. And we will then correct it in line with the committee's decision. We would indeed be appreciative if the committee so decides that we can engage, because there are institutional issues that are raised by the answers, which I think it would be critical to actually engage with the committee, having said the chair, on our side, I think.
DDG is also endorsing the apology. What I'll propose then, I know the feeling of the colleagues and of the members, that will allow them to respond on the question which we've raised, because I believe that the questions are in line with our line of function in this provincial level, although we're operating in the national. I'm doing something new.
Now you are proposing, Chair.
Yes.
We have to respond. Thanks, Chairperson. I was getting worried that you propose and you implement and do all this on your own from the Chair. The Chair, let me also, whilst I was also crossing, begin to agree. DDG, this was strategic. I'm saying to my colleagues there, when the presentation was, starting, Ms. Mohale said the document is in front of all of you. Right. At that time, this document was not in front of me. I had to ask Shweb to go and get me the document. And she started presenting. Hence, I did not say it, because I would have fixed her. But nevertheless, Chair, let me amend what you are saying. For me, as a person, a letter of apology is not as important as a document which is talking to me, representing the province of the Eastern Cape. I agree that we engage subject to a DDG, a document talking to us as delegates from Broadway, where all the thing which was uttered by a word of mouth which is not here detailed around Broadway and all will be worked out, and we still need this document so that we go and report back to our province. Otherwise, Chair, I support that we engage. But we need those two things, a reworked document, PTG, and letter of proposal. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, honorable members, let's allow them to respond. I think the proposals are clear and clear and most clear. Let's get an opportunity to respond to these questions.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much. I will take all the questions. What I've attempted to do, Chair, I've written down all the questions that have been raised by the various honorable members, and I've tried to group them together according to the themes that we have picked up. If there is still any clarity that is required, honorable chairs will assist me in terms of making sure that we cover all the bases. Chair, let me start with the one on the issue of the FBI training and how that actually came about. Just to give a sense of comfort to the members that in the RCMC we have the Chief of Police, myself as an executive manager, and also the acting CEO, who are members of the International Association of Chiefs of Police Forum. When we attended the conference, we obviously struck relationships with a number of role players from around the world. We have 20 agreements with a number of countries, for instance, India, Australia. We also have a working relationship with Netherlands, the United States, and it is under this particular context that we were invited to participate in an anti-corruption engagement. We have to indicate that they paid for all the costs. We did not pay for any. They had, of course, restricted the numbers, and therefore we took advantage of such. We want to also clarify that our participation at that particular training forum was cleared with the JCPS cluster of BESCOM, of which us as criminal enforcement are members of the Justice Crime Prevention and Security Cluster. However, Chair, if you still want the full report, we will certainly make that available at the next engagement as well. Chairperson, the issue of alcohol is a very, very serious problem in South Africa. The Medical Research Council has indicated that in most of the major fatal crashes that occur, particularly over weekends, 65% of these can be attributed to the issues of abuse of alcohol, either by a driver or a pedestrian. We want to also indicate that given the challenges that we have faced within this particular area of enforcement, it has created a bit of a situation in which we are somewhat hamstrung. The one is that the High Court judge in the Western Cape came to the conclusion that the greater evidential equipment that we were utilizing was not in line with the requirements of the Act. And therefore, the manufacturer of this particular piece of equipment, which is German-based, needs to revisit and to make sure that it complies with the requirements of calibration in terms of the issues of retraining and making sure that people who operate this piece of equipment are correctly trained and certified to do so. Chairperson, just to give a progress report, there is a task team that is working very tirelessly to address the issues, the outstanding issues, the major three that I've just discussed, to make sure that the issues that have been raised by the High Court are dealt with and dealt with conclusively, so that this particular piece of equipment can be brought back into play, which will assist us a great deal in making sure that the issues around alcohol enforcement can be dealt with very, very decisively. Currently, Chair, it takes almost 2.5 hours for no less than 2 officers to be taken off a particular roadblock to deal with issues of alcohol enforcement. We because the procedure is very cumbersome. We are using the old-fashioned drawblood method, which also creates delays at the forensic laboratory. Having said that, Chair, we want to indicate that as part of the National Zoning Enforcement Plan, we are going to continue on the issue of alcohol. We are saying that we are not going to reduce the focus. What we have shared here is not what the road user out there needs to know. What they need to know is that we are going to continue tirelessly on the focus as far as alcohol goes. Chairperson, then we want to also talk about the issue of 24/7. What we will also do, Chair, and I'm getting a sense in terms of how the committee wants the report to be structured. We have what is called a monthly national road safety report. Although it's called national, it comprises of the 9 provinces. It indicates where the major fatal crashes have occurred for the previous month, what were the contributory factors, and which ones were investigated as special crashes. Chairperson, we also have, as part of the report, a national rolling enforcement plan monthly report, which gives a month-by-month report in terms of the vehicles that have been stopped and checked as part of the million vehicle stop and check target, how many notices were issued, for what offenses were they issued, how many people were arrested, for what offenses were they arrested, how many vehicles were impounded, how many vehicles were discontinued. We can actually give that per problem, and certainly, Chair, we will be in the job of providing such to this committee. As part of the whole issue, Chairperson, is the issue of 24/7. And yes, we must indicate that the Western Cape, they have successfully been able to implement this. We have, as the Road Traffic Management Corporation, an agency which, as you know, is charged with the responsibility of coordinating. We've come up with a model very similar to the Western Cape, which we call the 24/7 shift system, in which we are saying there will be little or no implication with regards to the payment of overtime. What we are saying is that the authorities must shift and rotate their critical shifts so that it moves towards the weekend, when we know that Friday, Saturday and Sunday is when most of the major fatal crashes occur. When hours after 1900 hours up to 2300 hours is when the biggest number of particularly pedestrians are killed on the South African roads. So we need that visibility over those particular what we call hazardous dams. So the 24/7 chairperson, we must indicate to this committee as well, is an authority that can be exercised by the head of department of each province as the accounting officer in terms of determining the office or the working hours. It doesn't even require any amendments or changes to regulations, etc. We are therefore still appealing to provinces. I know Mpumalanga, Honorable Chair, is looking at incorporating it, as well as the Eastern Cape. I know MEC there is also looking at making sure that the issues around 24/7 are incorporated, as well as Limpopo. However, we must indicate that Limpopo's model differs slightly from that which we have proposed. We are saying it doesn't matter, whatever works for whichever province, as long as they are comfortable in implementing it. What we would like to see is the increased visibility during those times when the road users are most vulnerable on South African roads. Madam Chair, we will also pledge here that we will bring you a full report at the next meeting in terms of each province and which provinces, what progress has been made in terms of this directive that we issued almost 6 months ago.
On that one, one word for the next meeting. And what you should do, I think we should receive it in 14 days' time. We want to receive it as this committee in 14 days' time. Because we can't wait for the next meeting. We've got a lot of work on our plate, and we're waiting for a long time on that. Because I think from that report, there will be issues that we want to extract and deal with them as a matter of ethics.
Chair, thank you very much. If I'll endeavor to actually get it to you even sooner, purely because if we can get it within 14 days and if there's some movement that this committee can assist in pressurizing provinces, Madam Chair, we could almost save Easter. As you know, Easter and Festival are the two peak traffic flow periods, and again, if maybe even three out of the remaining eight provinces come on board, it's going to be a huge, huge difference that the committee has made. Thank you for that. We'll make sure that within 14 days the report is made. Madam Chair, the committee and honourable members have made a very, very strong emphasis on issues that we must bring to the fore about provinces that do not cooperate on our various programs. Madam Chair, I think at the next meeting also what we will do is we will attempt to give you an overview of how the RTMC is constituted and what our role and function is. And yes, I have to plead to say that the way we are constituted according to the Act and the Constitution does somewhat leave us hamstrung. Many a times we have these type of meetings where we engage with provinces. Just to very quickly say, Madam Chair, we have 11 technical committees under the Road Traffic Management Coordinating Committee, which is the mother body. All the chief directors sit on that particular, and the chiefs of police sit on that hierarchy body. And below that, I'm chairperson of two technical committees, the Loads Management and the National Law Enforcement Technical Committee. And Madam Chair, I can tell you that we do all the programs that we run. We draw up these programs in consultation with provinces. It's not a top-down approach where RTMC comes with a program and says, this is yours, force it down your throat. We engage with the authorities, representatives, we discuss issues, etc. When they leave and they come back, sometimes we don't get the reports that we want. And Madam Chair, I am happy that this committee is going to allow us this platform where when you see blanks, you'll be able to engage with your provincial representative and say, well, why is this particular province not indicating how many people have been arrested for drinking and driving? Madam Chair, I'll go so far as saying it is very unfortunate, and you'll see it in your report, Madam Chair, that in one province they can arrest 800 people for drinking and driving. In another province, they haven't even managed to arrest three. Now, somewhere there's a disjuncture. And do remember, Madam Chair, that we have targets for each province. Those targets are worked out scientifically through models that indicate number of traffic officers, number of vehicles in the province, number of kilometer usage, number of crashes, etc. Very complicated models, but at least there's not a thumbs-up approach to it. So, Madam Chair, we will be happy to share those, the full report with this committee, and we'll send it to you every month like we send to all the other platforms as well, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, also the report, I'm getting a sense to an understanding of the type of report that you want. We will engage with the Secretariat to give us further guidance and advice in terms of making sure that we comply with the requirements, what exactly is required, and in what format you want. We want to apologize again for the nature of the report. It's not that we showed any disrespect. We spent a lot of time reading, pulling the report together. I suppose we were not briefed correctly, but we shall henceforth going for sort that out. Madam Chair, the issue of loads management is arranged by our honourable member, Northwest. Yes, is a big problem. Yes, honourable member Frunabal. It's a big challenge, Madam Chair. And again, in my comprehensive report, we will indicate to you how many way bridges we have in the country, how many of them are operational, which ones are not operational, and why they are not operational. Madam Chair, it's sometimes just a simple management issue. Sometimes it's an issue of people not able to pay the lights and water so that computers can work, so that things can work. It requires a bit of, we need some pressure from a committee such as this. And I'm almost sure if we work together, we can definitely reach that. Madam Chair, the issue of the mobile way bridges, we are utilizing it in a number of provinces. Often I can't tell you which provinces are utilizing it. However, again, I will also show you that report. We must indicate that a mobile way bridge is only used as a screening device. You cannot prosecute. You need to then take the truck to a way bridge, and there they will then be verified and charged, prosecuted accordingly. Madam Chair, the issue of stakeholders and a good example was given around the issue of the minibus taxi councils. We have a very good working relationship with Sensato, so this is the National Taxi Council, particularly around the operation Sokomela. However, we did express concern that Sokomela seems to only come on stream during festive and Easter. We want to see a closer working relationship throughout the year, so that we engage not just around the issues of compliance, but we also talk about the issues of communication, education, and also training of the taxi drivers. Madam Chair, as I speak to you right now, the biggest fleet owner in the country, the Patco Bus Company, has approached us to assist them in rolling out a driver training program, particularly those who, as you know, are traveling along the Malotta Road. Madam Chair, as you know, Malotta Road was a huge problem for us. We have managed to stabilize the situation. We had no less than 3 enforcement agencies from Mpumalanga, Gauteng, Tshwane Metro, and of course the National Traffic Police at SCOR, working tirelessly on that particular route, and we have managed to stabilize it. However, Madam Chair, as you know, in December we had one incident where a motorist overtook 5 vehicles on a barrier line, crashed into a police vehicle, and 6 people died in that crash. So basically tainted our record, which means we just cannot for a moment back off and think that things are stabilized, because the nature of HAZLOCs, we call them HAZLOCs, hazardous locations, is such that you go in, you stabilize, and when you stabilize, you find that the HAZLOC has moved elsewhere. It is the nature, the dynamics of this. People then start misbehaving on another road. The moment you move somewhere else, you need to, according to smart policing tactics, go back and do a blitz every now and again. The issue of casualties, Madam Chair, I'm going to go now back to the question. Thank you. We'll go through all the questions step by step to make sure we cover it all. Will we achieve our targets? The way we are going, the 50% reduction by the year 2020, we need to be very upfront. If we continue along this trajectory, we're not going to make 20%. We are still a small but significant year-on-year reduction. You will see from the figures. And that has come about in the last 3-4 years as a result of the National Rolling Enforcement Plan. Madam Chair, again, just to give you a background. We have a situation in South Africa where we have 1 national traffic police, 9 provincial traffic departments, 6, now 7 metropolitan traffic police, 228 local traffic authorities. We've got SAPS, we've got the Cross Border Road Transport Agency, we have military police, and also SANPARK, the South African National Park. These are all agencies who have the authority to execute the Road Traffic Act. Our responsibility is to get them all to sing from the same hymn sheet. And we do so without the teeth that is required. So we're basically working on a country club management, please, appealing, approaching, debate. Sometimes, you know, I've often said, and please forgive me if you think I'm out of order, that there's too much democracy in our technical committee. An enforcement agency cannot be such. If there's a problem, there's a crisis, we need to go out there and act very, very decisively. We can't have a situation where an authority or representative says, well, we were not consulted. I mean, 24/7, it goes without saying. If we, Madam Chair, and again, you will help us. In the Western Cape, they have seen a more dramatic decrease in fatalities. Why? Because they have brought in 24/7 in the last 2 years. Now, it goes without saying, if we can get all the provinces to bring us in line, we need to get management to understand their job is to manage, and labor union, their job is obviously to protect the interests of labor. We need to be decisive in terms of our role clarity and to deal with it accordingly. Chairperson, the issue of Department of Education, yes. We are working with all the various sister departments. We realize the importance of pulling the resources together. And if we get Department of Education to come in with a formal examination road safety subject, not like it was done in our days, where when a teacher had a free period, they spoke to us about road safety and they brought the NTS and stuff. We need a formal subject matter, which is examination subject. And there is such a program in place. However, education has told us time and time again, there are too many social responsibility programs that we need to roll out. There's the issue of crime, there's the issue of HIV/AIDS, there's the issue of, in rural areas, the issue of paraffin safety. So we are competing with a number of other issues as well. And to find time in the curriculum and the day the child pupils is very challenging. Chairperson, we have also been told officially that we cannot go into a school and go and disrupt the school program for the day without it being sanctioned by the district manager Department of Education. Having said that, Chair, what we are saying is that we are looking at smart ways. If the school can give us 5 minutes to address the pupils at an assembly every week, we would have reached 1,000 pupils at the school multiplied by 10 officers, 10,000, and in that way, the road safety message can be spread. We spoke about the FBI. The issue of corruption. Chairperson, we must concede there is a certain percentage of rotten apples that is undermining everything that we are attempting to do. And if we do not arrest this, this cancer is going to spread. It is widespread as it is on the roadside, it is at DLTC, driver license testing centers, as well as vehicle testing stations, it's also at way bridges and in various other sectors as well. Chairperson, the National Traffic Anti-Corruption Unit in Jato, which currently only has 3 members, but they have done excellent progress. You would have read about them in the paper, Chair. Last year they went in, they closed a number of vehicle testing stations. They did not do so on their own, they did so in conjunction with other enforcement agencies, namely the Hawks, the Gauteng Special Investigation Unit, also the Asset Forfeiture Unit, etc. And there was, I'll give you one example, Chairperson, a testing station in Gauteng alone. They tested no less than 26,000 vehicles. That doesn't have the capacity to test more than 50 vehicles in a day. According to the Act, any vehicle, a normal sedan type vehicle, should take roughly 20 to 24 minutes if you do a proper test run. That means that if this person had indeed checked the 26,000, that means every 4 minutes a vehicle would have gone through that particular testing station. And clearly, and what worked there, Chair, is they had installed CCTV cameras in a building opposite, and all the footage has been gone through. Thus far, 14 people have been arrested in no less than 4 testing stations that have been closed by the MEC in Gauteng alone. Because the moment you tighten up in KZN or in any of the other provinces, they run to another province, and this province obviously take advantage of whatever loopholes they have. Chairperson, on the issue of corruption, we also arrest our own. Last week, Chairperson, on the R21 between Johannesburg, the O.R. Tambo Airport, and Pretoria, the major arterial route, 2 of our officers were arrested for soliciting a bribe from a truck driver, for an amount really of just 50 rand. And clearly that is it shows that the level of corruption in some cases. We are dealing with it, as you know, the investigation part, the arrest, the prosecution, and thereafter the labor relations aspects around it have to be complied with. Therefore you won't get the kind of instant justice that the public wants to see. It's sometimes long and drawn out. When a person is eventually jailed, it makes a very small article that nobody actually reads. Chairperson, there's also what we call the hazardous locations project, and it was raised by one of our honorable members. We have a list of the 40 major hazardous locations in South Africa. These are routes or sections of route that contribute towards 80% of the fatal crashes. Now, from where you're sitting, you would say, then what's the problem? Smart policing dictates that you deploy your scarce resources in those areas that will give us maximum benefit. But now, again, Chairperson, this is where the catch comes in. 90% of the fatalities occur when it's outside of office hours. So our provincial traffic officers, who are not essential services, cannot be deployed. They will tell you, no, I'm sorry, we don't work 11 o'clock at night or 2100 hours on a Friday. So that's where the disjuncture comes in.
Chairperson, the issue of gender equality, I'll ask the female to assist with that one. We've spoken about the railroad strategy. Yes, Chairperson, we work with our sister agencies as well. We have a relationship with Transnet, and we still do. For instance, in Rustenburg in the Northwest Province, it is apparently the one, there are three railway crossings along this particular road in Rustenburg, which account for more than 70% of all Transnet crashes that involve trains and vehicles. Now, as you know, that when a train is involved in a crash, it causes a derailment, and the cost in downtime is massive. So there was a relationship between ourselves in which we struck an agreement with Transnet to say we will assist with enforcement. And again, Chair, it goes to the heart of where the problem lies as, for us as South Africans. We will only behave when we see a marked vehicle or a traffic officer, even at the railway crossing, where you know that the aspects of danger are so much greater. I mean, Chairperson, I was there at the launch. We've seen this with our own eyes. And then Chairperson, I would, if you'll allow us, we would love to invite the committee members to our operations. We really, whether it's at the operational level, at the provincial level or national level, when we have our operation, we would like for you to come and you will see firsthand, experience firsthand what we see. And perhaps you will probably give us a better perspective in terms of dealing with it as well. Our honorable member from Northwest also asked, how does South Africa compare with the rest of Africa? In order for us to be able to do comparisons that are meaningful, we have to level the playing field. And that debate here, academics will tell you, we have to, but it's not, the easiest way to do it is per 100,000 population or per 10,000 vehicles. But then you've got to take a whole lot of other socio-economic issues and demographic issues into account as well. It becomes a bit difficult. But having said that, we are not proud to admit, Chairperson, that in Africa we are certainly in the top five. In the rest of the world, again, we're somewhere in the top 12. So clearly, it's not a record that we are proud of. There's a lot of work that needs to be done. We will also, in the next presentation, show you, Chairperson, exactly where the problems are, when the problems occur, who are the most vulnerable road users, how what their ages are, and the most contributory factors in as respect to major fatal crashes in South Africa. Can the roads be linked to the condition of roads? Chairperson, the ratio has always been that 80% of all crashes occur as a result of human error. Having said that, we want to more and more, as South Africa is now, as the previous indicated, a member of the International Road Assessment Program. We cannot run away from the fact that, yes, there are certain routes. While the national road network is world-class, there are more and more some of what we call our C-grade and D-grade roads that do require a bit more attention. You'll find potholes. And to try and avoid a pothole, and we've come across numerous cases where people have lost control because they try to avoid a pothole. And if you have what you call a single vehicle crash or both a horrific head-on collision type accident, which almost always 85% chances of survival are zero. So you will be involved in a fatal crash there. Having said that, roads are starting to take a share of blame as well. And with that, there might be another school of thought. In fact, defensive driving skills always tell you that the way to avoid a situation is that a driver will adapt his driving according to the situation he or environment he or she finds himself in. However, we must also indicate that not all drivers are open to such. They would want to see a road that is in a good class, and clearly if not, they get involved in crashes. So more and more we are seeing a link between the condition of the road and the crashes that lead to fatalities. The death toll, in South Africa, a great deal of emphasis is applied to the number of people who have lost their lives. And very little attention is paid to those who are left behind as injured. Some of them are what we call P2s, P2 means that they were able to walk away, and with a few stitches they were fine. There are others who are P3, so that's very serious case. It might be a person who is permanently maimed or paralyzed, for example. And clearly, the formula that we use, that in any fatal crash, there is bound to be 10 injuries. In any fatal crash, there are bound to be 10 injuries. Given that the vehicle population, like in South Africa, you find that because not everyone is motorized, it's a very small proportion of motorists that are of road users in South Africa vis-a-vis the population. And clearly, when there's a major crash or a vehicle crash, at least 10 people will be injured, and they use the ratio 1 is to 10. For every one fatality, there would be 10 injuries.
We'll have to rush 5 minutes.
Okay. Chairperson, we spoke about the rail bridges. Yeah, I think Chairperson, Chairperson is one more. I just want to make you raise that yourself here, is that of the learner transport. Chairperson, there is a regulation that states very clearly that if you are going to operate any vehicle that is going to transport children, learners, especially that is going to enjoy a government subsidy, such a vehicle needs to be tested, and the operations of such an operator needs to be sanctioned and approved by the relevant traffic or transport department. Having said that, there are a number of fly-by-night, and what we do is, as part of National Zoning Enforcement Plan, we have specific targets that we set out in which we go out and really target just learner transport vehicles. And having with that goes the educational campaign to say headmasters must also report, especially when children undertake field trips, that their vehicles that they are utilizing are in a roadworthy condition. And also the issue of parents. Parents must know that their children are going in a particular vehicle, who the driver is, what's his cell number, and at least have the basic information in terms of the vehicle fitness and also driver fitness. Chair, I think I've covered all. I'm not sure if Siri wants to.
Thank you, Chef. There was a question on HIV/AIDS and the heavy vehicle driver industry. What we do have from time to time is activations. In our activations, we take through health service providers that would do HIV testing, as well as other things such as diabetes and blood pressure testing on heavy vehicle drivers. And at the same time, that program aims to educate the vehicle driver on the importance of being a healthy driver as well. So that is our contribution on the HIV/AIDS that's prevalent in the heavy vehicle driving industry. On the issues of gender, we have for some time been talking about how the fraternity is designed for men. By virtue of being a traffic officer, for instance, you cannot be on the road when you are pregnant. So what then do you do during that time? And we've seen it as one of those gaps in the fraternity where you are saying you need to position the female traffic officer such that issues of triple oppression do not affect her negatively in her career. And in that respect, we have talked about celebrating very good traffic officers. Because if you look at LEFCOM and RTMCC, Road Traffic Management Coordinating Committee, there is a prevalence of men. You hardly get any traffic chief who is a woman. So we have designed a program that will celebrate excellent women in traffic and to create conditions such that at the time when you're not on the road stopping and checking vehicles, you are at least empowering yourself in certain areas so that you are able to go through the ranks and become a traffic chief yourself one day and be the chair of LEFCOM. So there is a lot of work that still needs to be done in so far as gender is concerned. But gender issues go beyond just the traffic policing fraternity. We have been talking in our strategic plan that's due for approval about having intense community presence where you take the women in communities,
who are social workers like they do with other EPWP programs, and positioning road safety as a problem, as a program like that, where you can have somebody in the vicinity who will be able to champion road safety issues in the community. And in that respect, we would like to see broad women participation, as well as in other areas, because there is clearly a very big shortage of participation of women, and it's not just women, it's also of black people. We're trying to see a lot of that coming out in all facets of the business. There was also an issue about the financial and political support. I wouldn't even think that they are mutually exclusive. I think that they go hand in hand quite a lot. The political will give us the muscle to lobby with greater power. And when you've got that muscle to lobby with greater power, you are then able to attain that financial support that you need. In terms of what we have done to acquire financial support for ourselves as a corporation so that we are sustainable, we have gone to every single available platform, including the Department of Transport, including the National Treasury, through all processes that are provided for in terms of the Public Finance Management Act. And it has been a very painful process for us to be able to get funding in that regard. So yes, Chairperson, we have gone everywhere, and that support was not received. There is also the issue on concurrence of mandates, where it was mentioned that there was the issue about federal state. It becomes a very important issue, given that traffic is a concurrent mandate, which means that your local government, your national government, and your local government have a role to play, and they can become quite protective over their own turf, where they will tell you that no, the National Traffic Police is not supposed to be this area because it is not your jurisdiction. So ours as a national entity is to make sure that there is cohesion within the three spheres of government insofar as traffic is concerned. And that is why in all our government structures, you find representation from all these spheres of government, including from organized local government in the form of the South African Local Government Association. I think, that would be it. I don't know if Advocate Lau from DOT would like to add anything.
No, mine would be just two small things. I thought if we continue to engage, there's just something institutional that's going to come up. And I think it is worth just indicating that, like if we're referring to the matter of concurrent funding, the coherence and the success and the progress we'll make as a country in the area of road traffic and road safety is dependent on the extent to which as a country we can drive programs across the spheres. So the issues we're referring to around correctness of information, which I'm sure you will see when the adjusted report is now given, will show you who is the head of provincial level that is not responding to the agreed program. And the real question at this level, at an agency level, even at an NGO level, is what power do you have to enforce? And really that's the issue. And I'm saying that issue is institutional, because you do not have here a supervisory power over an MEC or a fellow colleague at the local level. So for me, it would be interesting, Chair, if at one point, once we've seen the report and we see what it tells us, whether in fact it's a city like this, we could be sitting with
problems.
So that question then goes to where they need to go, and we begin to get a sense of fact. I think that, to me, is the key problem. Just one issue around the resources. I do want to confirm what the agency has said, that, Chairperson, we have a cyclical process where we look at the issues of resources, and I mean for the past 5 years, RTMC, together with us, have always lobbied for funds through the MTEC process, Mincom Park, and so on. But in the context of the competing demands across the country, it's very difficult. But I do want to say, I do think we need to ask the question as a country, and certainly as this platform as well. We're spending in the order of 46 billion through REF, right? But to what extent would we in fact turn this thing around if we moved those resources to this end?
the preventing end rather than the result end. Because by the time we deal with RAF, you've had an accident, you're broken, you're paralyzed, and that's it. So I think it's a country thing. I just wanted to play those two, Chair, but thanks very much.
In our program, we are still with two HMs standing. Remember, last year we had a report which was not about churches, where there's 2 minutes which were not there to check, and now we're supposed to deal about this program of the first term. So I wanted us to think about it, because also some of the coaches which are speaking about it, in particular the issue of the minutes, you received them last year before we did. But I want you to give them a report, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes each.
Thanks, Chair. I'm just worried about this issue of 24/7, where there is no uniformity. It is left at the discretion of each province to decide. Maybe it comes back to the DBG when they said they don't have the power to enforce. Because I think that should cut across all the provinces to enforce them, that we have to implement that 24/7 system. Maybe, but in the interim, what we could do, maybe when we invite them next time, we need to invite them with provinces.
Yeah.
The HODs in the provinces, they should be part of this meeting, so that when we identify out of the reports that we have, we're able to pose questions directly to those provinces. And then in that manner, I think it will also help. The second one is the issue of CCTV. I was also interested in that one. Maybe in testing grounds, in way bridges, those CCTV should be put in such places. Maybe they will also help us to get this issue of corruption. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just a small thing. We didn't say anything about the correction on the language that was raised by Honorable Doug. If you can correct that.
Honorable Member, we will go back and correct that language issue. But there was also another matter, Honourable Member, that you asked earlier about how do we run our programs in provinces. Are they biased towards perhaps more urbanized provinces, or do we go down to the most outward of places? What we do in the RTMC in terms of all our educational programs is that all of them are done in conjunction with provinces. The provinces then take the programs down to the districts, and the districts are then able to get that on-the-ground participation. So all our programs, participatory educational techniques, your debate competition as well, is a national program. By the time it gets to the RTMC, it has been through all the provinces. And we are very proud that, for instance, in the last debate competition that we had, the best speaker of that competition was from rural KZN. And we tried to get a mix of participants so that as young people as well, they're able to interchange with each other from different class backgrounds.
Honourable Member, so I think that we have come to an end of our interaction for today. And to indicate to you that any time you might be called to come back. But also to indicate to the DG in particular to say that please don't feel offended. This is a part of the oversight. We're doing our own oversight. And when you come back, we suggest that you send your whole team. We don't want you to point the finger to some of that. And also, you ought to be careful with some of the mistakes. I don't call it a mistake in some of the things, because we feel very offended if similar things are happening time and again. Because some, we know some of the partners, they don't take us through the Siras. Up until we change the bank, that's where they start to take us through the Siras. Because we do have powers to do that, and we also do have powers to someone to call the minister to come and account because you are failing to cooperate with us. But nevertheless, thank you very much. Thank you very much. You wanted to do? Thank you very much. We excuse you for now, but we really are there. Last thing before you leave, the deadline, when are you going to submit? That's what I want to ask.
The report will be submitted within 14 days.
Within 14 days?
Yes.
If you say within 14 days, maybe, because some people they are having the tendency that they will say certain time they do not calculate it. They say 14 days. That is technical.
Provinces, they're included in the TMC. But here we are dealing with something which is at the national level.
I won't argue with that one. You're correct. I think it's supposed to be corrected. Secretary, you must correct it. And then second page, the third page. If none, let's move for the adoption of the program. Because Mayor Kroonewald, any seconder? Seconder. Seconder.
Chair, can I waited deliberately. I wanted to throw a proposal, not for debate, but which links with the program. But I wanted us to adopt it one first.
We adopted it. Right?
Yes. Now, yes.
We correction.
Can you give me now? I will throw a proposal for consideration. Third sentence, Chairperson. Chairperson, I deliberately waited that we adopt this one without discussing it. But now, Chair, having noted the state of the national trust, the approach which was used by the president, I want to suggest that the committee focuses more, I don't know how, the management committee should look on checking now the implementation trend both at provinces and at the level of national. I'm saying, Chair, I'm not opening the debate. We adopt this one up to March.
Okay.
And then going forward, we focus into that.
Okay. I think that was a comment. This colleagues, please, let us not debate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just in addition to what Honorable said, remember we also adopted a resolution in the workshop. So that also should be incorporated.
Sure.
As we will be doing that, we should also incorporate that.
Sure.
I
don't have a question about that 100%. Also, let's go through the minutes on the what have been two sets of minutes and one report, if you call that way. The report on the next committee on public service oversight visit to Eastern Cape regional office dated 20 November 2012. Do you have copies about it?
Where is that guy?
It's Western Cape, yes.
Yeah, you said Eastern Cape.
No, I said Western Cape.
What? Okay.
Okay, fine. Do you all have copies, ne? Let's start from page one.
Chair, just that the punctuation marks in that final paragraph must all be shifted. The punctuation marks.
Yes.
Pilot, I think the secretary knows about this, Chair. If you have a comma after something or a semicolon or a colon, you put it right next to it. And I just think that that paragraph must be redone. The last paragraph, all the punctuation marks, all the colons, all the semicolons must shift.
Oh, I see.
Closer to the last one. We don't put it's a very basic one, Chair, but I don't think we must let minutes go through like that.
Okay, fine. Let's go to page 2.
That the department's failure to fill vacancies
was not in line.
Thank you. What else?
Just the second bullet after that as well, Chair. The last, the filling up of, you just say filling of vacancies, you, the up can come out, Chair.
Next one, page 3.
No, before that, I'm not. If I don't, it says here, the regional office made it clear that the national department has the power to appoint. Okay, the regional office. Officers are merely required to indicate their human resources.
Page 3.
Right at the bottom, sir. there's an edit that needs to be taken out right at the bottom of page 3, Chair.
Page 3? Which paragraph?
Right at the bottom, the last
one. The last
line.
One?
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. This one. Okay, fine. Page 4.
No. Che. Che. Just the sentence right at the top, Che, that hyphen must come out between committee and further.
Which page?
The first page.
Last page, page 4.
Yes. Okay.
Chamber moves.
Adoption of the minutes.
Yes,
and adoption.
Chamber.
Oh. Adoption. Any second up? Second it. Honorable members, thank you very much once more. Since we see for the third time in the new year. The meeting stands again. But you don't forget that tomorrow we are having a meeting with Yagama. Thank you.
See you.
Next meeting.
Thank you.
challenge with us, maybe from your side, if you can propose so that we can all maybe agree, that it is those strategies you can come with before the team, because you are able to assess your plan, that what we have on the table, what is there, what is there. Because after that, maybe from your side, if you can guide us, that in terms of your program of the party, which day are you sitting, which day is a not sitting. So now I wanted maybe to request from your side maybe to guide us that what do you propose so that we can see how to patch ourselves, because we also I also made a proposal of the center. You know why? There are few fundamental challenges which we are facing. So it's very wise to have the minister from the particulars to come and take us on board in terms of that. And we do have that challenge of not only pay to add it to the court potato. And we must have somebody to catch up to take us on board. The other one is the SA Marine Maritime Safety. I thought that also can form part of our discussion, that check maybe from our side so that we can see how to adjust ourselves. Because when I'm scared, Monday, obviously, because it's Tuesday, I don't want to check by the same day. And the staff, maybe they can be active, but with us, you know, we depend on what the people. Sometimes Parliament is deploying us, sometimes it goes. Then Tuesday, that is our day. But also it depends whether the